For topic 1.6, you need to explain why many animals have a heart and circulation in the context of mass transport to overcome the limitations of diffusion in meeting the requirements of organisms. Now, if you look at something like a locust, it has a single heart and blood vessel, which runs down its dorsal side. And from there, pretty much all the nutrients it needs diffuse around the rest of the body. Insects are quite small. Don't start on giant dragonflies with the Carboniferous, because we'll be here all day. But insects in general are a lot smaller than we are, and they don't have to deal with such large distances to transport nutrients. So they have an open circulation system. The blood, such as it is, it's referred to as hemolymph, diffuses out into the insect's body and then returns to the heart later. If you look at fish have a slightly more advanced circulation system. All vertebrates have effectively a closed circulation system, so the blood doesn't mix with the rest of the tissues. Fish have a single circulation. That means that blood flows through the gills to be oxygenated and then onto the rest of the body. Reptiles are doing something a little more interesting. They've got a semi-double circulation system. Blood returning from the heart seems to be mixed. Returning to the heart is mixed, but you don't need to know the details of that. And then there's us wonderful mammals with our fully functional double circulatory system, where blood flows to the lungs to be oxygenated, then back to the heart, then around the body, and then returning to the heart. Now, why have we gone to all the trouble of having a circulatory system like that when insects manage to get by just diffusing everything? Well, think about the relative sizes of an insect and a human. Think of the mass, and think about the sort of volume increase that we're talking about. We are massive in comparison with insects, and the centimetre or two that they take up, which means they can diffuse all their nutrients quite nicely over that space, wouldn't even begin to reach the tissues that we need to have. We need to have some means of transporting blood, oxygen, glucose, other nutrients to those tissues, just so that they can then make use of the fact that over very small distances diffusion is quite effective. So we need that mass transport because we are physically too big for nutrients to get round by diffusion. We have our system of vessels to carry substances, so you need to know we have arteries, arterioles, capillaries, venules and veins. We have a means of moving substances in the correct direction. We refer to these as valves. Veins have valves in them. We'll look at those in a bit more detail. We have a method of moving substances quite quickly. We have a mechanical method, a pump, which is the heart, and we have chemical methods that help us to maintain concentration gradients, and that's active transport, which we look at in topic 2. We have a transport medium, which is the blood, and we've done a little bit on that, and you should be revising the components of the blood. Our double circulation, as I mentioned, involves the pulmonary circulation, which concerns the lungs. Deoxygenated blood leaves the heart, oxygenated blood returns to the heart. Systemic circulation concerns the organs and the tissues. Oxygenated blood leaves the heart, deoxygenated blood returns to the heart. Okay. In terms of the oxygenated and deoxygenated blood, you need to remember that the arteries carry blood away from the hearts. Okay, so the pulmonary artery carries deoxygenated blood, but it's carrying it away. The aorta carries oxygenated blood, but it's carrying it away. Okay, that's a quite an important distinction to make, and it's not always one that's that intuitive. So remember, arteries away. Okay, that's it for that one.